to say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum wine, yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the bone thugs in, are they in harmony? Do, do, help a snowman, do.
Then I was like, I don't know. There's like three soaps, Irish Spring, Dial, and Coast. And I was like, oh, Coast kind of reminds me of like the 90s soap commercials. And I was thinking about how I was like, you know what was like a 90s soap commercial staple? Is like a guy in the shower and he's like lathering up and it's like insane. Like it touches him and explodes into an absolutely ridiculous lather. You know what I mean? Like, it's like crazy how much lather there is. Now I'm looking at one right now and I'm like, I think this is a guy, but I can't. I think it was a lady. I think a lot of them I remember being guys, which is like, I think they were trying to walk a line. They're like, well, this is a fucking soap commercial, not a, you know, we don't want someone jerking off to this commercial. Yeah. Okay. This guy like touched a bar of soap to his body and it just like, boom, just comes shooting out of it. I don't know. It was just weird. It was weird. Cause like Poon Master Flex, you know, I brought it in and then she's like, oh, Coast, that's not what you use. And I was like, I mean, it's not what I use. I wouldn't say that I'm like a committed whatever. And she's like, I thought you were like an Irish Spring guy. And I was like, first of all, I'm not an anything guy as far as soap goes. I'm a, what do you sell in bricks of like 8 to 12 bars? Usually it's like whatever is in the largest quantity, that's what I'm going to buy. I'm like, go fuck yourself, Marie Kondo. I'm not buying one bar of soap at a time. Okay, I'm going to buy like 12. Because here's what happens. You run out of soap, and then it's like, okay, and then I go diving in to figure out where, like, my travel bag is that has a bar of soap probably in a travel container that's been in there for, like, 7 years. And then I'm like, I find that, and then I use that, and then I'm like, all right, now I'm completely out of soap because I kept forgetting. Anyway. Yeah, I was like, I don't know. I'm not like a, I'm a pretty soap neutral guy. I got to be honest. I probably got it from my mom who bought, I don't know even how many, but like hundreds of bars of Dove soap that were, didn't even have boxes or anything. And they were just in the drawer in the bathroom, just full, just packed full. Also very funny. On Coast, it's the eye opener. That's their like slogan. So I guess don't use it if you're a night shower person. But it says it's the eye opener. And on the side, it has a lot of text about not getting it in your eyes. all right. We're back. The Grinch in Grinch 2, written by Uncle Danny? Bob, probably. Uncle Bob. The Grinch and Martha got married. And we faded out, I think, after their wedding. It was like they were dancing and yeah. And so here we are. On their we're following them through their next phase of life. Narrator. By far the biggest gathering of people to celebrate a wedding, Grinch and Martha May are having the time of their lives, but now we'll be moving into the next chapter of their lives. I promise I didn't actually read that. I just, you know. The business is booming, and they are now a happy couple, and Grinch definitely feels welcome as one of the citizens of Whoville. Lovely. It's time to start looking for that new home they had talked about, a house that will be a little larger if they decide to start a family, and maybe a little closer to Crumpet Park. Sure, yeah, less commute to the theme park you run. Don't you think if you ran a theme park like a Disneyland, couldn't you find somewhere for that guy to live in the park? If he has to be there all day, every day, couldn't you, I don't know, build some little outbuilding that looks like a giant Stitch from Lilo and Stitch and he could live in his tummy or something? Camera fades away. Camera can show Grinch and Martha sitting on a couch together looking at a real estate magazine. I find this so fascinating. Camera can show it, if you want. Martha points to a photo. How about this one? Grinch looks closely. Too small. Grinch points to one. Martha says, too big. Grinch points to another. Another. Martha says, too close to the mayor's house. Grinch, ooh, good catch. Martha turns a page and points. How about this one? This is riveting. Grinch, three stories, too many stairs. You can't have the Grinch looking at houses and using normal standards for what is and isn't a good house to purchase. That's dumb. Like, what's the point of that? You want the Grinch to be like pointing at, I don't know, an old dilapidated warehouse that has like a rusted out hole in the side, and he's like, this is perfect, you know, and she's like, I don't know, you know what I mean? Okay, Martha points to another one. This one's perfect. Nice yard, sidewalk in front, garage, close to Crumpet Park. Grinch looks down, eyes open wide with excitement. That's marvelous. Let's go check it out. Is that like a Grinch catchphrase or something? Narrator. Martha and Grinch love the house and decide that's the one. Now begins the difficult task of moving in. They have to move Martha's furniture from the old home into the new one, which goes fairly smoothly. Camera can show moving people carrying larger items in and Martha and Grinch carrying smaller items in. A second larger truck pulls up in front of the house. Grinch runs over to the truck and points to the driveway and says, back it in here, boys. Martha runs out to Grinch, who is guiding the truck that is backing into the driveway. As we just said, we just fucking said that. What, did you buy us new furniture? Grinch, honey, you know we can't afford to buy new furniture right now. This is all my stuff from my cave. Martha buries her head in her hands for a second, then covers her mouth. The tailgate opens and Martha gasps as junk starts rolling out for what seemed an eternity. Have large bowls, pots and pans, bowling balls and pins, old tires, hubcaps rolling out with the sound of dishes breaking, things banging and crashing. Martha looks over at the driver's window and sees Max there with his tail wagging 100 miles an hour. I like how the camera direction says, have this happen. And it's like, you can just say, instead of say, have large bowls and so on fall out, just say, large bowls, pots and pans, etc. fall out. Okay, I don't know a lot about screenwriting, but I don't think you need to do that verb. Martha walks over to the door and reaches up to grab him. Max, you poor thing. Come to me, sweetheart. Let me show you your new home. Why is Max in the truck with the cave stuff? Is Max cave stuff? Martha carries him up the sidewalk through the front door. She gives him a big hug as she is rocking back and forth. Martha puts him down and says, Max, follow me. I want to show you where your doggy bed is and where you can find your food. Okay, Max, you can eat or take a nap, whatever you want to do, but Grinch and I have a lot of work to do to, okay? All of a sudden, a look of total fear comes across Martha's face when she remembered she still has to deal with that load of junk that's being unloaded. What the fuck? Martha runs back out front just in time to see Grinch dragging his ugly, torn, duct tape-covered recliner off the trailer and up the sidewalks and bumps into Martha, who's blocking the front steps. And she points to the large garbage bin. Grinch, what? This chair is so comfortable. Okay, maybe it needs to be recovered. Perhaps a nice plush mauve plaid pattern. Camera zooms in on holes and cushions showing bugs crawling in and out of the crevices. I mean, I'll give Uncle Bob some credit. Because like, sorry, I got distracted by a picture for a second. This feels real. You know what I mean? I bet there have been many couples who move in together and let's be real. The wife horrified by something the husband is moving in, that he's like, I've had this since college. And she's like, I know, that's kind of my problem with it. But at the same time, I'm like, is this what we want Grinch, you know, and his wife to be arguing? Like, don't you want him to move in like an Iron Maiden or something? Something super crazy. Like, just the dilapidated chair. I'm like, I don't know. Feels like you could dial that up a little bit, right? Make it really something. I was distracted because there's a box of stuff and it's got a company on it that says Who Carding, like Whoville, Who Carding. And I was like, it should be Who Carded. That's funnier. Martha, absolutely not. That thing is disgusting. She points again to the junk bin. Next scene, Grinch is dragging the monster head loudspeaker, the one that amplified Max's bark, up the sidewalk and once again is greeted by Martha. Martha, are you kidding me? She points again to the bin. Grinch, but. Once again, she points to the bin. Next scene, Grinch is carrying his scary mask, looks at Martha and puts his thumb up and then down as to question her thoughts. Martha gives him thumbs down. From where he's standing, he throws it into the bin. Have repeated scenes of him holding ugly items and giving her thumbs up and then lowering his shoulders and tossing them into the bin. Camera fades away. I like how it's like Uncle Bob wrote the movie. Why would you do... Oh, this is maddening. Why would you do it this way? Like, why would you write the most boring shit, which is them, like, looking at normal houses in the newspaper, and then you, like, don't write the fun part? The fun part is, like, what kind of crazy shit would Grinch bring into their house that she's like, no. You know what I mean? And, like, you don't do, or, you know, like, you set up a little joke here for, like, he brings in, like, two crazy things, and then the third thing actually she like pre is thumbs downing it, and then it actually looks normal, and then it's like a, I don't know, a love seat, but then he turns it on its side and you can see that the backside is like on fire or something. You know what I mean? I don't know, that seems like the fun part, and it's like Uncle Bob wrote the unfun parts to set up the fun part and then was just like, yeah, I don't know, come up with some shit. It reminds me, the maddening thing about this, one of the maddening things about this is that I was out and I saw a flyer. I was with Poonmaster Flex and I saw this flyer, right? And they had a colored background on the flyer, so that had been printed on the flyer, but you could see the margin of white all the way around because it's like the printer won't print all the way to the edge. But then there was a text box close to the bottom that was also, the text was cut off, but the text was fully contained within the colored box and still had more room below the bottom. So somehow this text box was cut off, but not by the margins of the printer, by something else. So there were two bottom margins in effect here, one that cut off the text and a separate one that cut off the color. And it was just, it was maddening to look at because I was like, how did this happen? How did you do this? Narrator. Now that Max is comfortable in his new home, Martha decides that Max could use some company as Martha and Grinch are going to be busy running Mount Crumpet Park. She goes to the pound and adopts a puppy that reminds her of Grinch. Martha May comes up with the name Yoo-hoo for their new pal. The first day Yoo-hoo comes home, the Grinch accidentally lets him out the front door, and Yoo-hoo takes off like a flash. The Grinch goes out to the front sidewalk with his dick hanging out, looking for the dog and starts to panic. He doesn't see him anywhere. Grinch frantically yells out, Yoo-hoo, Yoo-hoo, I can see where this is going. A couple walking down the street side sidewalk turn and say, who, us? Grinch, no, Yoo-hoo. The husband says, who, you? Oh, God. Grinch angrily says, no, not me, Yoo-hoo. The husband points to his wife and says, who, her? Grinch, getting angrier, says, no, not her, him. The husband says, him who? I'm not going to finish this scene. I'm just going to skip. You know where this is going, right? Camera fades away. Everything turns to black. This, by the way, I'm a little concerned because this thing is 34,000 words. We're on page 21 of 92. I don't know if I can do this whole thing. Like, I'm trying to look and see, like, is there a lot of pictures or something? And this is a lot of text. I don't know, man. This is going to take some doing. Narrator. Fall is in full color as the leaves are just starting to drop. Grinch and Martha's life seem perfect. The park is doing well. They love their new home. Max and Yoo-hoo are very comfortable in their new warm and cozy home as well. Great. Camera can show Grinch in his new recliner eating the paper and Martha reading Whose World magazine, the two dogs sleeping in their beds. You could just tell us that. You don't have to tell us that they're happy and then show us that they're happy. Jesus Christ. The topic of raising a family comes up again, and for the first time, Grinch is not in a panic. This is the narrator still. They discuss telling Martha's parents about maybe someday becoming grandparents, and the subject of the Grinch's parents comes up. Well, as you know, he doesn't know whose parents are or where he came from, but he had heard a rumor that more Grinch people live in the mountain north of Mount Crumpet. No one's really sure how that rumor got started, but the mayor one time suggested it to the Grinch to see if he could find his roots. The mayor does not actually believe of this rumor, but figures if he can convince the Grinch to take a hot air balloon trip north, his chance of returning will be nearly impossible as the wind very rarely blows southward. Even though the mayor seems to be tolerating the Grinch, the mayor probably would not be too upset if the Grinch was to be lost in travel. The Grinch starts to look into the possibilities of making the trip in search of his family. He decides to call Gus Who. I just got that. Gus Who. Gus Who. I think Gus is the one who made a hot air balloon that goes up and down the mountain as a conveyance for people or something, which is fucking crazy, but fine. But now we're acknowledging that hot air balloons just can't, like, go, you know, wherever. Grinch. Gus, what do you think the chances of making a hot air balloon trip northward, but more important, the trip back home? Gus, as you know, the wind always blows to the north. I'm telling you the thing I just heard. Never to the south, maybe once in 100 years. Why do you ask? Grinch, I want to try and find my roots, my family. I believe in the rumor of the mountains north of here, and possibly that's where my family is. It just seems to make sense. It just seems to make sense. I like how he's like, it's time to find my parents because I'm thinking of having a child. Not before this, but now that I'm having a child, it's a good time to risk my life trying to find parents who, by the way, could come this way, right? Gus, I'm sorry, Mr. Grinch. Even if the rumor is true, the return trip doesn't seem possible without some sort of extra assistance. Let me talk to Professor Who Knows, oh God, to see what he thinks. If anybody can figure out a solution to your problem, it would be him. He was a professor of engineering at the University of Idaho for 30 years, and Jesus Christ, he still likes to dabble with projects in his workshop. I will get back to you. I hate this. Camera fades away, then back to Gus at his home. This is so much harder than watching, like, a shitty movie because I have to do so much more work. And I'm, like, trying to say the words and also understand them, and it's, like, maddening. Camera fades away, then back to Gus at his home. Gus calls his friend, Professor Who Knows. Professor, I need help. With an idea, I need a way to help propel a hot air balloon faster and stronger than the propeller I have now. This is like, I can see why this is so fucking long, because it's like, Grinch, how can I do this? Gus, I don't know, I'll call the professor. Next scene, Gus calling the professor. I need this thing for Grinch that does this thing. Professor, who I can picture having buck teeth, nerdy glasses, and a voice like Professor Frank from The Simpsons. I think you're thinking of Professor Frink from The Simpsons. Frank. I've actually been working on a smaller version of the methane gas-powered turbine that is powering the village right now from recycled food leftovers. Gus, can you make one small enough and light enough to attach to the bottom of a hot air balloon? Professor, well, ironically, I already made a small... I bet this is not going to be a textbook definition of irony. Somehow, I think... I already made a smaller version to experiment if the idea would work at all. I could reconfigure my calculations, reduce the chamber size without jeopardizing the compression detonation. By the way, I'm just doing a general nerd voice. Not Professor Frink. I'll have to make some more changes to make it lighter and smaller, but, yes, I'm sure I can. Don't give us so many fucking details, you nerd. This is why people don't like nerds. You can't just say, like, yeah, I could probably do that, you know. You don't have to tell me every step of the way. You could just say, you know, I think I could make that work. Give me some time. Why don't you come on over and I'll show you what I already have. Gus, I'll be right over. Gus arrives at the workshop. Why wouldn't we just cut to this? Professor. Camera showing everything the professor is explaining. This round container is where the fuel is stored. No one cares. The fuel consists of most leftovers, such as any discarded fruit, vegetables, apple cores, banana peels, miscellaneous meats, etc. What is a miscellaneous meat? I'm hot dog? That's what they should call it. It should, hot dogs should be rebranded as missile, M-I-S-S-I-L-E, anus, A-N-U-A-S, meat. Miscellaneous meat. Then I reinstall the lid, then push the igniter button. Igniter button is clearly marked igniter. Professor. What? Okay, we just have a new quote attribution, even though the same person's still talking. When you start the igniter, it moves the materials to the composting chamber. After some compression, then it moves to the methane chamber. The methane mixes with fresh air, which enters from... Is Uncle Bob, like, an engineer or something? And he's like, really? This is really important detail? I mean, I'm waiting for it to say, like, something... You know, the spirit of Christmas will power it back over the mountain. But it's just like, once the methane and the air are properly mixed, it goes to the combustion chamber. And the igniter sets... Yeah, you're explaining combustion engine. Great. Gus, wow, you're unbelievable. How in the world did you come up with this? This is going to be perfect. The next day, while Martha and the Grinch are having their morning coffee, the phone rings. I bet I know what we're about to find out. Martha answers the phone and says, good morning, how are you? She listens for a second and says to the Grinch, this is for you. He asks Martha, who is it? Martha, Gus, who? Grinch, Henry, George, Frank, Ralph, this is ridiculous. Who is it? Martha, I didn't say guess who, I said Gus who, Jesus Christ. He takes the phone from Martha and complains, what's the deal with all these who names anyway? What's the deal? Grinch, yes, Gus, what's up? A balloon? The Grinch is giggling and laughing at his own joke and says, oh, I am just a riot. Gus, I talked to the professor and we have an idea for the balloon. Can I come over and we can talk? Is he going to just tell him again? Come on over, I'm all ears. Grinch looks directly into the camera and says, actually, that's not true. I have very small, adorable ears. You can't see them because of my gorgeous flowing hair. As he flips both his hands through each side of his hair. Is this the first fourth wall break of this, or is that already happened? Who cares? Gus arrives a few minutes later and rings the doorbell. Martha comes from the hallway and opens the front door. Martha, hello, Gus, come in. Grinch, while sitting at the kitchen table eating baked beans from the can, he stops chewing for a second and yells, who's at the door? Martha, I know, I let him in. Grinch, you let who in? If everybody's last name was who, don't you think they would have a different word in their language for the concept of who? You know what I mean? Or say they'd say whom all the time, even though it's not always correct, but like, who cares? Because it's the only way. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know anybody whose last name is his or hers. You know what I mean? Them. Like, we. I don't know people with these names. This isn't really a thing we do, is it? Gus the balloon guy? Then why didn't you tell me that in the first place? I skipped a bunch of stuff where they were doing another who's on first. Who's on first? See, what the fuck? Why wouldn't you do that? You could change it completely. You could basically do the same thing, except it's like, who's on first? And then they'd be like, no, who is on first? And they'd be like, oh, and that would be it. That's a fucking joke, Bob. Martha shakes her head and points toward the hallway and tells Gus he's in the kitchen. Just go through there and to your right. The Grinch gets up from the table to greet Gus, but lets out a small fart. Camera zooms in on Max, who is sitting there, covers his nose with his paw. Yoo-hoo, who is also sitting there, has that disgusted look on his face. Grinch looks directly into the camera again and says, oops, those beans get me every time. Is that it? He just farted and that's the whole thing? Is the fart going to power the thing with methane at some point? Probably, right? It would be wrong of me to assume that Uncle Bob hadn't cleverly laid in this whole beans methane thing. Maybe that's why we needed an explanation. Do you know how you do this, though? You have the professor explaining it to the Grinch. Because then you can have the professor talking, but then basically have the Grinch doing some nonsense and then being like, yeah, yeah, okay, egghead. You know what I mean? Because then he can kind of sit in for the rest of us and be like, nobody cares. All right. I saw you have a new car in the driveway. Did you guys buy a new car? Grinch. With all the running around we do since we opened the park, we decided we need one. What the fuck? You have a car. Okay. I was like, maybe this is like Grinch World Whoville and they don't have like cars and stuff like that. So that's why they need to take a hot air balloon. They have cars. Why do they need to take a hot air balloon? Why would you be like, well, a hot air balloon is really the best way to go. However, the wind never blows the other way, so I'll be stuck. And they're like, well, what if we came up with some kind of fan contraption? And he's like, or I could drive. You know, either way. But I think he has a car just so he could say this joke. What model is it? It's a Hoobaroo. Gus, very nice. Well, anyway, I saw things sound like other things, and that's a joke. I saw Professor Who Knows, and he has a solution to our problem. First, I will build another balloon, just like the big one at the park. It will need to be like the big one to fit the supplies and equipment needed to power the balloon. Professor actually has been working on a project that is very similar to what we need. We just have to figure out how to adapt it to work on the balloon. On the bottom of the balloon, we have to mount two. Camera fades away as Gus starts explaining all the details to Grinch, but not to bore the audience with the details again. The camera fades away. As the camera is completely faded, you hear another fart and you hear the Grinch say, excuse me. Not to bore us a second time. So Bob knows this is boring, but he's bored us with it once. He's not going to go so far as to do it twice, but this is a clear acknowledgement that he knows that this shit is boring. Narrator. The Grinch is trained by the professor and Gus, being that they both know different operations of the newly designed balloon. The Grinch has just been assuming that Gus would go with him, but Gus told him when he was on his own because it was just too dangerous to travel the unknown like that. He told him he was on his own. It was at that point the Grinch realized just how dangerous it would be. Grinch is determined, though, and continues his training. Camera shows miscellaneous scenes of training with Gus and Professor. Gus, while pointing to instruments on the dashboard, this is your compass, you know, north, south, east, west. Push this lever up to go up and push it down to go down. Grinch, oh, this is simple. I'm ready to go. Professor, hold on there, big fella. Those are the only two simple controls on this balloon. The rest get a little more complicated. Up, down, north, south, east, west. What other options does a balloon have? Grinch rubbing his hands together in excitement. Bring it on. Gus, this is your altimeter. Grinch, alter water? Gus, altimeter. It gives you the altitude. Grinch in a grumpy voice. I don't think my attitude is anybody's business but my own. Gus slowly repeats altitude, meaning how high you are. Grinch, while putting his arms to his side, I knew that. I was just joking with you. Gus, this gauge here is vertical speed. Why would you need that? What difference does that make? Whatical what? Vertical speed. It's whether you are going up or down and how fast you're doing it. You don't want to do either too quickly. Why? Grinch, especially the down part. Grinch, boys, I think you forgot something. Where is the steering wheel? Gus, there is no steering wheel. Grinch, what? Are you people crazy? What if I want to go that way? What if I want to go that way? Gus, okay, this is where the training gets difficult. Grinch pulls a notebook out and a pencil from behind his ear and starts frantically writing down some notes. Oh my God. Usually direction is changed with a combination of wind direction and altitude change, but the professor's modifications will help you. That's going to take some more training. Grinch, how do you spell altitude? Gus, you don't have to worry about spelling it. The professor and I put together a manual with everything you'll need to know. There's even an index with everything listed alphabetically. Alpha, what-y? Alphabetically, you know, A, B, C, D, E. I know what it means. What do you think, I'm stupid? What? What is happening? Of course not. It's just a lot for you to take in all at once. Let me explain a little about the steering, though, before we get into the turbo part. The turbos are going to use a lot of fuel, so you only use them when the wind is pushing you in the wrong direction. Grinch, talking out loud when writing his notes. Wrong direction. Dots the notepad with his pencil and says, got it. Professor, so you fire up the turbos with this button here and adjust your speed with this control here. Camera fades away. Narrator, Grinch has completed many, many hours of training. The camera can show him studying with notebook, underlining items, circling items, adding note, etc. The professor and Gus decides that Grinch is as ready as he will ever be. Now it's time for Grinch to practice lifting and landing. The professor stood aside while Grinch and Gus get on board the balloon. Grinch practiced starting off and rising well above the village. There was a breeze blowing north, which, as you know, is common in Whoville. We've been over this. The Grinch practiced steering the balloon back south with a combination of the propeller and the professor's turbine system. Camera can show him practicing, moving levers, pushing buttons, turning things and adjusting them. Turbines firing up and then can show Grinch landing the balloon in the same spot he lifted from. Narrator. The professor and Gus were extremely impressed with the Grinch's perfect landing. The Grinch, Gus, and the professor all agree he's ready for the trip. After thinking about the trip for a couple days, Grinch decides it's time to make the trip, but suggests Martha should not go because it's too dangerous. When was she ever going? Camera shows Grinch and Gus starting the process of filling the balloon with hot air. We have spent so much fucking time training on this stupid fucking balloon. Villagers are there, they cheer. And camera pans to Martha May, who has tears rolling from her eyes. Narrator, they all seem to understand his need to find his roots, but are a little concerned as they have all grown to love him. The balloon is, and he's doing a stupid thing that no one should do in order to find parents who don't love him. The balloon is nearly ready for liftoff as the heater has been filling the balloon for a while. The mayor's in front of the crowd and he is so ecstatic and can hardly control his excitement. As you remember, the mayor was the one that helped sway the Grinch into thinking he might find his family if he headed north. Yeah, we remember. How long is this movie, Bob? It's like a 9-hour epic movie? HBO series? Camera shows Grinch and Gus loading the balloon with food and supplies. That seems important that are added up to them by the professor. The stack of supplies is getting near the end when Grinch looks back out at the crowd and does not see Martha. What the fuck is this? Like the Titanic? Grinch leans over the side of the balloon and looks left and right and does not see her. He walks to the other side of the balloon and looks and still does not see her. Grinch, while cusping his hands around his mouth, yells out loudly, Martha! Martha, where are you? Camera, the punctuation in this section is crazy. Camera shows the crowd backing up, looking all around to find her. You can hear everyone asking, where's Martha? Grinch, does anyone know where she is? Grinch, while putting his hands to his sides, I'm not leaving until I get my kiss goodbye. You can hear all the women in the crowd. Ah! What does that mean? Clarnella, who works her way to the front of the crowd. Clarnella, if you don't remember, is one of the two caretakers that raised the Grinch. Clarnella, Martha ran back to the house. She said you forgot something and she would be right back. Don't leave until she gets back. Grinch pulls out his notebook, fumbles through several pages. Check, I got that. Got that. Check, check, check. Check, got two. Check, got it. Check, check. Ooh, I got six of those. Pulls his wallet out and opens it up, and the camera zooms in on his balloon license. Got my license. I'm sure I have everything. This is like, yeah, okay, this is what you do. You have the balloon license sequence, and that's where he goes to, like, a, you know, a DMV, and they start him off. They just give him a little balloon, and, you know, it's on the end of a string, and then it just crashes crazily into a wall, and they mark him down. And then he studies, and he goes back, and he, you know, gets progressively bigger balloons that they let him test drive, and he keeps crashing them. Now we're talking. Camera pans out to Martha running toward the balloon while struggling with a big suitcase in one hand and a picnic basket in the other, and yells out, "You forgot me." Camera shows the entire crowd going, "Huh?" Grinch, Martha May, what are you doing? Martha, you forgot me. Grinch, we've talked about this over and over. This trip is too dangerous. Martha, let me on board. I want to give you some more warm clothes and food in case you don't have enough. And more important, I want to give you a great big hug and kiss. Crowd again. Ah. Oh, I think they mean aw. Grinch opens the basket door and Martha enters. He grabs the suitcase from her and she carries in the picnic basket. Martha closes the basket door. She tells the Grinch, take a look at those sandwiches I made for you. All your favorites. As the Grinch reaches in the picnic basket and focuses on the sandwich, he's completely distracted as she picks up and throws overboard three sandbags. The balloon starts to lift and two straps that are holding the balloon down pull out of the ground. The balloon starts to lift quicker. The crowd starts to gasp. Did we not know that she's getting on? She told us she's getting on. Gus reaches for one strap but misses. The camera now zooms in on the mayor's face because he now realizes that his plan of ridding the Grinch forever has backfired and he may lose Martha May forever. The wind picks up as the mayor jumps forward and grabs a strap. He's lifted about 6 feet off the ground. He's 6 feet from the ground and he's thinking maybe he can no longer hang on. And he falls to the ground. The crowd once again gasps in unison. It's a lot of that going around. Grinch to Martha in his grumpy and now crazy voice. What in the world is wrong with you? Are you crazy? You know I can turn this thing around and land it back down, don't you? Martha, please don't. I love you and want to be a part of this. I have a good feeling about this. If you have a family, I want to be a part of it too. If we have children, I want them to be a part of it too. Grinch closes his eyes slowly and shakes his head, opens his eyes, and says, you are nuts, you know that? Martha stares into his eyes and slowly nods her head up and down. Grinch, well, I guess that works out because I'm nuts over you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, so much. This is such a weird script because it's like so much energy goes into so many things that are so unimportant and stupid. Like we've spent how many pages here? Okay, that we're on page 28. Just scrolling back. How long have we been talking about this dumbass balloon? Okay, we had the new dog that went nowhere. Okay. From 21 to like 29, 7 pages, just basically getting this balloon, training for the balloon, launching the balloon. okay, I'm going to go to the end of page 29 because then it's day two of trip. There's like a little break. As the balloon continues to rise, they embrace each other and then lean over to wave goodbye to the cheering crowds below. The balloon continues to rise and is now they can look down at Mount Crumpet Park from an angle they've never seen before. Martha, look at that beautiful park. Just think, that's all there because of you. Grinch, yep, yep, yep. Although I couldn't have done it without you. We are an awesome team. Camera shows the balloon has now risen above the peak of Mount Crumpet. The Grinch looks at the compass to confirm the northern breeze is sending him in the right direction. I just gotta warn you, this won't be all fun and games. I'm thinking the nights are going to get quite cold. How fucking far are they going? Martha opens her suitcase and says, I took that into consideration and packed some extra warm clothes. She picks up a sweater and says, see how this matches my eyeshadow? Martha then says in a panic, oh, crap-a-doodle. You must turn this thing around and go back. I forgot my eyeshadow. I can't see your family looking like this. Jesus. Grinch, two things. One, we are not turning this thing around. Two, you don't need makeup to look beautiful. Martha, yeah, but Grinch, no butts allowed on this balloon. Grinch looks into camera, cups one hand around his mouth as to whisper, especially big ones. We have to keep the weight down on this thing. Sir Mix-a-Lot v. Grinch. The classic case of whether we like big butts and whether we're going to lie about it under oath. Martha, okay, but tell me the part about looking beautiful again. They both giggle and sit next to each other. They slide together and cuddle. Grinch, I just thought of something. How did you pack all that stuff and make all those sandwiches? You were only gone for a little while. Martha, oh, God. Well, it's a long story, but I guess we got a lot of time to kill, so I guess I could tell you from the start. No! A couple of days ago, Clarnella called me and she wanted to talk. I went over to her place and she told me how it always broke her heart not being able to find out if you were delivered to Whoville by mistake. She told me about a nameplate that was in your Pumbercella basket that was ripped in two and part of the paper was missing. She never told you or anyone about it because she didn't want you to grow up feeling like some sort of mistake. This is so natural dialogue, just people talking full paragraphs like this. When she found out that you were going on this trip, she thought it might have been some sort of clue that might be helpful in finding your homeland. I told her I would give it to you and explain everything. I packed some clothes and extra food in case I could convince you to let me go. I decided not to go because I actually was scared. This morning I was just going to kiss you goodbye and give you this envelope with a note explaining the torn papers. When I saw Clarnella in the crowd, she looked at me and blew me a kiss. I don't know what happened to me at that moment, but I changed my mind and decided that I was going to go with you and nothing was going to stop me. So here I am. Jesus Christ. Grinch, so what kind of sandwiches did you bring? That's a solid C-minus joke, which for this is not bad. Martha, are you kidding me? That's all you can think of right now? Grinch, I had to lighten the moment because I think I might have started bawling with a nervous laugh. Martha, boy, that heart of yours keeps growing. You are so sweet. Grinch stands up and turns the propellers on for a moment to make a slight adjustment to correct their northern route and sits back down next to Martha. So what's this paper you're talking about? I'll show you when the time is right, okay? Not now. Yeah, why? We had time for this whole fucking story. I have this mystery paper that came with you as a baby. And it's like, do you want to... Well, let's look at the paper. And she's like, nah, let's save it. Yeah, why not? What the fuck? Who's watching Max and Yoo-Hoo? Yep. Yep? What do you mean, yep? Who's watching the dogs? Yes, you're correct. Oh, God. I am correct? I'm not even sure I know what I'm talking about. Cindy Lou Who is watching the dogs. She's going to walk them and feed them every day. Could someone please explain to me why everyone's last name has Who in it? Because that's what we do when you're a Who from Whoville. Grinch, shaking his head. But why do you Whos do what you do? Oh, never mind. Martha snuggles up closer while laughing, and Grinch joins in laughing too. Grinch... camera can show Grinch adding some heat to the balloon and then pans down to show heavy, thick forest below them as far as the eye can see. They ride into first night. Everything went surprisingly well. Martha May got a good night's rest and even Grinch got several moments of sleep just checking all the gauges to make sure they were still heading north and maintaining the proper altitude. When the sun rose on the next morning, they were a little disappointed they couldn't see any mountains in the horizon, but they figured they had enough fuel for up to 9 days of travel, including the trip back. I have a feeling, yeah, the farts are going to come into, I can feel it. I can feel it coming. I can feel it as strongly as I could feel my own farts coming when they do. I have a feeling. It's like, I want to give Uncle Bob credit for laying this in, but also don't, because I just am feeling punished by this. I'm feeling like I made a bad decision to read this through on this podcast, but you know what? Whatever. Sometimes you make a bad choice. And then you gotta live with it. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, I guess. And see you next time. Somebody should talk about two time. Talk about one, yeah. You're asking the questions, but nobody could.